Is going to be coming out of this evening. As most of you know, usually when I'm up here doing a Sunday evening talk, I'm usually talking about a song that we sing because I know how important it is to know the songs that we're singing, know the words that we're singing, and why we're singing them rather than just singing them and hearing them in our head and know that they sound pretty. That's a great part of music and probably one of the reasons why God wants us to do this, we also need to know what the words mean. I know for this song specifically, this is a song that I've always thought was beautiful. I've heard it a lot. We listen to it a lot in our car. But it's one that when you're just listening to it, it is really hard to tell what the words are, hear the words as they're being sung. And so I wanted to make it a point to do this song this evening because it's actually quite a beautiful song. And I just mean the words. So this song, what it's about is actually the progression of Jesus' role as the Son of God, as the Prince of Peace, or as the Savior of all. The song's name is Exalted. If you look under the title, Isaiah 52 and verse 13 is what the song is based off of, quote unquote. So if you would, go ahead and turn over to Isaiah 52. Let's start in that verse to see what it actually says. Isaiah 52 and verse 13. It says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." And so, with the definition of this song that I said, as the progression of Jesus' role in our lives and in really just humanity in general, let's go into a little bit about what all this is. As far as the definition of exalted, I wanted to look that up, and Webster says that it's placed at a high or powerful level or held in high regard. But now if you Google the biblical definition of exalted, it will say to raise in rank, in power, or in character. So to raise in rank, or to elevate by praise or in estimation. But the main words that I want to pull out of that is to raise or to elevate. We want to take that from a low position to a high position, or that progression that I'm talking about. So I want to go next over to Isaiah 53, so probably either the same page or the next page over. As we all know, Isaiah 53 is pretty much the messianic prophecy or the messianic chapter that we see in the Old Testament as talking about Jesus and the things that he does for it or that he will do later on. But in verse 2, it says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." So when you think of what that means and the fact that this is talking about Jesus, this is about as low as it goes. It's just a small, tender plant. No form or comeliness. He's just a little bit of a root out of a dry ground. We see him that there's no beauty that we should even desire this person. So if we start there, if that's how this whole thing starts, and then we see what Jesus will be at the end, that's quite the progression. So I want to start by, or I want to continue this by going through each of the small little parts that we sing in the song. So as we just sang the entire song, we see that there's a small part that the sopranos and the altos sing. It says, "Known before the world," and then the tenors and the bass sing the next part. So So I want to break up each one of those parts this evening, go through some reasons those are there, reasons those are put in this song, and then see where we're going to end up at the end. So the very first one is known before the world. John chapter 1, we can see where this is coming from. If you want to turn over there, John chapter 1, verse 1. This is the beginning of all. This is the New Testament's version of Genesis chapter 1. So John chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So that first part was known before the world. We see that even before the world was here, there was Jesus. Jesus was the Word. And so in the beginning was the Word, even before the world. Next part is, it says, seen in future days. Seen in future days. So seen in future days is speaking of the Old Testament prophecy. If you would turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. In verse 15 it says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me," talking about Moses, "like me from your midst, from your brethren, and him you shall hear." So Moses is talking about Jesus there. Even long, long, long before Jesus is ever coming up, as far as on this earth, we see Moses talk about Jesus. He's seen in future days. He's prophesied. Turn over to John chapter 6. There's John chapter 6 and verse 14. So Moses just talked about the one that would come into the world. But in John chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, "Then those men, after seeing these things, seeing the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world.'" So these men were talking or knew the words out of Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15. They knew that there was a man that was going to come into this world doing these mighty works, and that this was definitely him. The next part, it says, "glimpsed by righteous men." Glimpsed by righteous men. So if you kind of follow this, this is kind of going in chronological order. He was known before the world. In the Old Testament, he was seen in future days. And now, glimpsed by righteous men. Turn over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. "For assuredly I say to you," sorry, in verse 17, it says, "For assuredly I say to you," this is Jesus speaking, "that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." So once again, we're still talking about the prophets. The prophets were able to get a glimpse, just a glimpse. They didn't actually see him, but they were able to get a glimpse of what Jesus was going to be when he was on this earth, but never actually got to see him. Those prophets would have loved to have seen what the people in the New Testament were able to see as Jesus was actually on the earth. So he was glimpsed by those righteous prophets in the Old Testament. The next one says that he was sent as David's heir. Sent as David's heir. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 7. We're talking about David and the kings right now in the class that I'm teaching upstairs. And a lot of the king study is dealing with David because of how important he was. 2 Samuel chapter 7, 12 through 16. It says, "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you, and your throne shall be established forever." So he was sent as David's heir. We knew that Jesus would come from David. He would come from the seed of David. We knew even before David, he would come from the seed of Abraham. And this long line of these Judeans here. So we knew they were going to come from them. The next part says, named an ageless king. Named an ageless king. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. Excuse me. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. It says, "And then the angel said to her," this is speaking of Mary, Jesus' mother, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Named an ageless king. We see here that when he becomes king, he will be king forever. There will be no end to it. Then we see granted all the earth. There's several passages we can go to, maybe even some that would be a little more chronological than the one I want to turn to. But let's turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28 and verse 18. This is the very end of Matthew, but it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So he has been given earth, or granted all the earth from God, and it came directly to Jesus. So he has all authority over earth. One way we probably could have brought that up was when Jesus was being tempted by Satan, and that he was actually trying to offer all of the kingdoms of earth to Jesus. But then he really just realized that that's silly, because I'm going to get that from my Father anyway. So why would I bow down to you? But I wanted to go over that one more so anyway. So the next part, so we actually kind of, we go to the next verse now. So each one of the verses kind of goes through a section of time. First verse is pretty much before everything starts. And then starting in verse 2, we see some miracles. We see the life of Christ. We see the ministry. Verse 2, the very first part says, "Seen with blinded eyes." So we all know about the stories of the blind men and the ones that were healed by Jesus. But let's turn over to Matthew chapter 12 and read about one. So if he was seen with blinded eyes, that means that there was someone that was blind, but then he was seen by them. So in verse 22, it says, "Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw." So as he was there in front of him, being blind, was healed and then was able to see Jesus. So he was seen with blinded eyes. He was met with wicked hearts is the next part. Met with wicked hearts. If you would turn a couple pages over to Matthew chapter 9. We'll start at the beginning of the chapter here. It says, So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. This is talking about Jesus. And it says, "Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you.' And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemes.' But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins.' Then he said to the paralytic, 'Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house.' And he arose and departed to his house." So he was met with wicked hearts. There were people that he was going to come across that even seeing the things that Jesus did, they had wicked hearts and would continue to have evil thoughts even after these miracles. Next part says, "Heard by heedless ears." Heard by heedless ears. Meaning, he's going to be heard by people, but then they're not going to do the necessary things that a typical or like a normal person would do after hearing the things he says. So let's turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'm going to read a few verses here, so bear with me. All right, John chapter 6, starting in verse 25. It says, "And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' And Jesus answered them and said, 'Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled.'" Talking about the feeding of the 5,000 story. "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Let's skip down to verse 41. It says, "The Jews then complained about him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven?'" So even though they've just seen all these miracles of 5,000 plus people being fed with a couple of loaves and a couple of fishes, they're still saying, "But this is just a man that we know that, you know, the son of Joseph." Then let's drop down to verse 52. It says, "The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. And these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Then one last piece dropped down to 66. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Let's keep going. Then Jesus said to the 12, talk about his disciples, his true disciples, do you also want to go away? I've told you these things. You have heard me say these things. All these other people did not heed the things that I said. Do you still also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so we know the things that Jesus says in this entire chapter is enough to make someone believe that he is the Son of God. And yet many heard those same exact things and yet did not heed them. So he was heard by heedless ears. All right, this next part is starting right before he is crucified. Worshipped with contempt. Worshipped with contempt. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 27. So this is kind of like the second part of the second verse here. Another part of a timeline. Sorry, Matthew 27. Verses 27 through 31. Worshipped with contempt. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. So they worshipped with contempt, worshipped in vain, worshipped jokingly almost. So they worship with contempt here by pretending that he is this king and kneeling down and worshiping him, but not truly. He was crowned with blood and thorns. We just saw that same part, in the same thing we just read. He was crowned with blood and thorns. And then in verse 37, it says, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. So that we look at that next part, it says, throned upon a cross. Above his head says, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. So he was throned upon a cross. He was made king upon that cross, both figuratively and literally. Let's drop down to verse 40 and see this scorned by those who watched. In verse 40, it says, and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross. So he was scorned by those who watched. He was mocked by all the wise in verse 41. Likewise, the chief priests, also mocking the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. Loved within belief here in verse 42 as well. They said, we will believe you if you do these things. Do these things and we'll believe you and we'll love you. But no, they were all just joking. Then we come down to the final verse. We're already in the final verse, but the final part of this song. It says, born to take my death. So all these things were for a reason. Remember, this whole song is about being exalted, going from that little plant with dried roots that we saw at the beginning in Isaiah 52, or in 53. And now he has died on this cross. He's been exalted continually. But what for? He was born to take my death. Let's turn back over to where we started in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the Lord has laid on Jesus all of our iniquities, all of our sins. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Very well-known verse for us Christians here. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we sin, our wage is death. And yet, Jesus, our sins were put on Jesus. And so he was paying for our death. Romans 3:25. Turn a couple pages over to that. Romans 3:25. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness because of his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. So this word propitiation basically just means that he has taken our place in death by living perfectly, bearing our sins, and then being killed because of those sins. And because he was sinless, his death paid for all of our sins. He was slain to give me life, is that next part. He died in order for us to live. And then the very last part is Jesus, Son of God. That brings us to the very, very last part of what this exaltation means. The progression from this little plant to now Jesus, the Son of God, being raised to the right hand of God Almighty. So we see in the song this whole progression, like we see, from being so small and being raised in rank, raised in power, or raised in character, elevated by praise or in estimation, what the biblical definition is. So whenever we sing a song like this, we have to understand the things that we're singing. We want to recognize the great power that Jesus showed by coming to this earth and being exalted for us. But the beautiful thing is that he will also raise us. If we humble ourselves, turn over to Matthew chapter 23. I'll let Jesus say it here. Matthew 23, verse 12. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So if we humble ourselves, make ourselves small, Jesus will exalt us. Turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And in verse 40. It says, "And this is the will of him who sent me," this is Jesus speaking about God, "that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up," or exalt him, "that last day." So if we look upon him and believe in him, he will exalt us with him. John 14, a couple pages over, verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." Drop down to verse 21. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." So if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, my Father will love you. If we want to be exalted like Jesus or raised from the state we're in to heaven with Christ, we must be a part of him. We must believe with all of our hearts that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We must repent of our sins, turning away from the works of the devil and towards the will of God. And we must confess our faith in Jesus as Lord and be buried in baptism, washing away our sins, partaking in the death of Christ, and coming up out of that water a new creature. If you're not a Christian this evening, all is ready, even tonight, for you to take these steps to be a disciple of Christ. If you are subject to the call of the gospel, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.